Sri Vishnu Sahasranam, name 748, Vishama. Those of you who are careful students of our Gauriya Vaishnava Bengali literature, you may be familiar with this word Vishama, meaning terrible, harsh. The word is used in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita to describe the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as being Vishama, which means they're very hard in dealing with those who are not properly disposed to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This word is used. Gadadhar Pandit uses this term to describe the devotees who became, superficially at least, somewhat annoyed with Gadadhar Pandit because Gadadhar would listen to Vallabha Bhatta. You have to read the whole thing. It's in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Anta Lila. It's a fairly common word. Bisham, that's the Bengali pronunciation. Bisham Bishoya Bish Shatata Kainu. Shilochan Dash Thakur sings, I have always drunk the terrible poison of material enjoyment. However, the commentators on Sri Vishnu Sahasranama have explained the word visham in a quite a different way. This meaning of terrible, they haven't touched on it at all. The standard derivation they give is employing the word sama. Sama means equanimity, sameness, equality. And then vi, which can be used as an intensifier to mean, Srila Prabhupada often quoted this, prakrishta rupena, something which is an intensifier, vishesha. But the other meaning is vigata, without. So without sameness. And sama, according to Panini Sutras, when the prefix vi comes before sa, then it becomes a sh. So we have vishama, which means who is not the same, who is not equal. And this can be understood in two main ways. Baladev Vidyabhushan, in his commentary, gives the meaning that he's not equal. He's not equal to everyone in the sense that he's different to everyone. He is superior to everyone. Matav parataram nanyat. I'm elaborating because Baladev Vidyabhushan, he just gives mostly short notes in his commentary on Vishnu Sahasranam. So I'm fluffing out what he has said. So Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita, there is no truth superior to me. There is no entity superior to me. No superior, and not equal to him either. Baladev Vidyabhushan, he quotes in this regard from the Shruti, Shvetashvatara Upanishad. Na tat samaschab yadi kascha drishyate, employing the word sama. Na tat samaha. Not tat in relation to he, samaha. Na tat samaschab yadi kascha drishyate. There is no one who is equal to him and no one superior to him. So in this way, he is in a category of his own. Jiva tattva, there are so many, unlimited. Vishnu tattva, he's in a different category. And there's also Shiva tattva and Shakti tattva. But basically, numerically, Jiva tattva is the most, and then Vishnu tattva, also unlimited forms, but there are more unlimited the number of unlimited jivas is more than the number of unlimited Vishnu forms. So he's different to them all. And he's also named as not being equal because he is partial to his devotees. He's biased to them. This is the meaning which is also given by Parashara Bhatta, that he is partial to his devotees. Now, again, those of you who are careful students of the Vaishnava Shastra, which is particularly dear to the Gauriyas, I mentioned Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam, you know that at the beginning of the seventh canto of Bhagavatam, there's a long discussion, philosophical discussion, where at the beginning of the seventh canto, where Parikshit Maharaj asks Shukdev Goswami, because they've been through six cantos, actually, prior to this, well, five cantos, because Shukadev begins his narration in the second canto. So they've been through, by the time we come to the seventh canto, of course, at the time when Shukadev was speaking, there was no such demarcation. But Shukadev's covered a lot of ground at this point, and repeatedly we see that the Supreme Lord appears to be partial to his devotees. And this will come up very much so in the seventh canto, after this initial part where there's the narration of Hiranyakashipu and how he was killed by Nrisimhadev. Prior to this, in the third canto, we have Hiranyaksha killed by Varahadev. So it might appear that the Supreme Lord is partial to his devotees, whereas he's supposed to be equal to all. And that's how Srila Prabhupada titles, actually I'm not sure if Srila Prabhupada personally gave the titles or if the editors gave the titles, but the title to the first chapter of the seventh canto, as far as I remember, in Srila Prabhupada's most glorious rendition, is the Supreme Lord is equal to everyone. And Parikshit is asking, well, it doesn't seem like that. It seems he's partial to the demigods. And the demons, they also accuse him of that. But Shukadev goes into great depth to rebut this idea that the Supreme Lord is biased. He's partial to his devotees. He's equal to everyone. But here we have a name in Vishnu Sahasranam, Vishama. He's not equal. So how do we understand this? Well, we can understand it from the apparently contradictory statement of Lord Krishna himself in Bhagavad Gita, in which he says, Samoham sarva bhuteshu name dveshosti na priyaha. I'm equal to all. I don't dislike anyone. I don't like anyone. I'm equal to all. But then immediately afterward, Lord Krishna says, Ye bhajanti tu maam bhakta mai te te shuchapya. But I am inclined toward my devotees. It exactly contradictory what he said before. But how do we understand this? Ontologically, he's equal to everyone. But practically, he reciprocates with his devotees in love as they reciprocate with him, as he said prior to this. Ye yata mang prapadyante tangs tathaiva bhajami aham. Mama vartmanu vartante manushaf partha sarvasaha. He says that I reciprocate with people according to the way they behave toward me. Everyone is on my path in all respects. So everyone is within the ambit of Krishna, and everyone can be his devotee. So he says, I'm partial to my devotees, but then there are non-devotees also. There always will be. Dvobhuto sargo lokesmin daiva asura evacha. there within this world, there are devotionally minded people, and there are demons who are against Krishna. So Krishna, he is equal to everyone. You want to be a demon, he'll reciprocate with you like that. You want to be a devotee, he'll reciprocate with you like that. He's not predisposed to hate anyone or love anyone, but as you behave, so he will reciprocate. So in that sense, he's equal and not equal also. So in this name, we are discussing how he is not equal. And Parashara Bhatta takes this up with the getting into this understanding of his not being equal in the sense that he's unpredictable and even his acts may seem to be conflicting. He's has his principles, but he's an unpredictable person in as much as, you can't say exactly what he'll do or how he'll do it. Just like prior to the appearance of Narasimhadev from the pillar, it was predictable for those who know the science of God that he will protect Prahlad, but how he would do it, that was unimaginable. Now we know, after the appearance of Narasimhadev, how he appeared from the pillar in a half-lion, half-man form. Adbhuta Shringa. It's just absolutely wonderful, everything about him. Adbhuta. It's just, never seen or imagined before. So that is a characteristic of the Supreme Lord, unpredictable. So in this way, not equal also. He's not within the avang manasa gochara. We can't properly describe him. We can't capture him in our mind and everything understood about Krishna. No, that's not possible. He's always astonishing, always amazing, always unpredictable. He's unequal in the way he behaves toward his devotees and toward the demons. But underlying that is equality, and on the surface, it appears to be partiality. He's very kind and loving to his devotees, but he's visham in the sense of being fearsome toward the non-devotees and especially the offenders to his devotees. Sri Namarlava, or maybe I should say Tiru Namarlava, he gives some examples in one of his pasurams of how the Supreme Lord acts unpredictably, wonderfully, and non-equally, in the sense that as Arjuna's charioteer, he's only supposed to be a charioteer, but he sometimes would make the whole chariot, by his power, he would make the whole chariot go down into the earth, and then the arrows would fly over the head of Arjuna. That happened more than once. Or when Karna sent the most terrible weapon, which he could only... Krishna pressed the whole thing down, and Arjuna was saved in that way. And he also, Krishna, being the active principle of everything, Arjuna, the brilliant marksman, bowman, his arrows were flying out and they weren't missing. But that's because Krishna was the active force in those arrows and making them hit their targets without fail. In clash between Arjuna and Jayadratha. The sun set. And Jayadratha, I'm saved. And Arjuna thought, oh no, now it's all over. Now the Kauravas were rejoicing. The Pandavas' side was, oh no, now Arjuna is finished. But Krishna told Arjuna, Krishna just went on driving the chariot forward toward Jayadratha. And everyone's wondering, what's going on? What's going on? And they relaxed because they thought, anyway, it's after dark now and Krishna can drive his chariot as much as he likes. But actually, it's Arjuna's chariot. He can drive it as much as he likes, but Arjuna's finished. And just when they approached, they came close to Jayadratha. Close means they're still a few miles away, but within arrow's reach, bow reach of Arjuna. Then Krishna showed what he'd done with his Sudarshan Chakra, which was generally for giving light, but he'd blocked the light of the sun, so the sun hadn't set, and it was just an illusion created by Krishna. So the sun hadn't set, and Krishna told Arjuna, okay, shoot your arrow. Woo! Boom! And that was the end of Jayadratha. So that was partiality of Krishna. He made some arrangement whereby Arjuna could be successful. He didn't protect Jayadratha. Not at all. He didn't protect Duryodhana. Just the opposite. When Bhima had to kill him, had to kill Duryodhana, Krishna gave the tip how to do it. Similarly with prior to that, Jarasandha, how to kill him. Krishna gave the tip to Bhima how to kill Jarasandha. He didn't give a tip to Jarasandha how to kill Bhima. Partial. That's his partiality. This comes out very graphically in the story of Ambarish Maharaj being insulted and attacked by Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni was a great yogi, had tremendous power. Ambarish Maharaj was a simple devotee. Simple in the sense, he was a king, but great emperor of the world, but he was simple in the sense that he didn't cultivate mystic powers or any such thing. He simply worshipped Krishna. But Durvasa Muni had to suffer because he wanted to use his yogic power to destroy Ambarish Maharaj. And then he eventually went to Vishnu and complained, what's going on? This Sudarshan Chakra, it's your Sudarshan Chakra, he's after me, tell the Sudarshan Chakra to go away. Why are you doing? I'm a yogi, I'm a Brahmin, I'm famous, I'm Durvasa Muni. Come on, what's going on? You got to save me from this threat of the Sudarshan Chakra claiming. And what did Lord Vishnu say? Aham bhakta parad hino nahya swatantra eva dvija. I'm under the control of my devotees. Don't believe all that stuff they tell you that I'm the Supreme Lord. Yeah, okay, I'm the Supreme Lord, but I'm under the control of the devotees. I'm not independent. Not independent means he independently acts for the good of his devotees, even though they don't ask him. Ambarish Maharaj didn't ask. He didn't pray. Oh, Krishna, save me from this demon which Durvasa Muni has unleashed on me. He didn't pray. Demon came to kill me. Okay, all right. Wasn't disturbed. Jivane morane gati aranahima. Radha Krishna pranamo jugalakish. This is the thought of the devotee. Living, I'll worship Radha Krishna. They're my very life, the divine couple. If I have to die, I'll go on worshipping them. So what does it matter, living or dying? To devotee, it's all the same. That's advanced devotee. If we can actually be free from the fear of death with that confidence. But Krishna, even without being asked by his devotees, he will intercede on their behalf. Sometimes they have to ask, because just like Krishna was away he was after Shalva, he was busy the Shalva who had attacked Dwarka. And at the same time, Draupadi was calling out, Govinda, 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 as Dushasana tried to disrobe her. So at that time, Krishna came rushing and provided unlimited cloth for Draupadi. So sometimes you have to call out also. He may be busy with something else. He was protecting his devotees in Dwarka. He's not the same. He's unequal. One understanding of this is conflicting characteristics of the Supreme Lord. Anoraniyan, Mahato Mahiyan. He's the smallest, he's smaller than the smallest and greater than the greatest. That's contradictory, isn't it? Smaller than the smallest, that can be understood as that, what is that, in Bhagavatam, Sukshmanam Aham Jiva. Exactly, I don't remember. Among subtle things, I am the Jiva, Krishna says. Jiva is very small. So all the jivas, they're representations of Krishna. I know as the Paramatma, Andantarasta, he is situated within everything. So he's very, very small. And he's bigger than the biggest. He's very big and he's very small, simultaneously. He is Karana Dakshaya Vishnu, the massive form from whom all the universes emanate. And then he enters all the universes in the form of Kshira Dakshaya Vishnu, one form of whose is within every atom. So he's very small and very big. Contradictory, conflicting characteristics. Again from the Upanishad, Shvetashvatara Upanishad. Pani Pado Javano Grahita. Aparnipado javano grahita pasyatya chaksu sashrinotya karnaha. He has no hands or legs, but he goes every, he moves and he accepts things. He sees though he has no eyes, and he hears although he has no ears. So this appears as conflicting characteristics. What does it mean? He doesn't have useless hands, eyes, legs like we do. But his hands and legs are of a different quality altogether. So much that that Sarvata Panipada, he who has no hands and legs, so, Sarvata Panipadam Tat. His hands and legs are everywhere. So you can't say his hands and legs are like your hands and legs or my hands and legs. Sarvata Panipadam Tat. Sarvatokshi Shiro Mokam. His eyes are everywhere. His heads are everywhere. So in this way, he certainly has hands and legs, but not like ours. From Brahma Samhita, Advaita Machutam Anadim Anantarupam, Adyang Purana Purusham Navayovanam Cha. He is one, Advaitam, Anantarupam, but he has unlimited forms. One and many, conflicting characteristics. Anadim, Adyam, Purana Purusham. He's without beginning. He is the beginning before everything. He is the ancient person. And Navayovanam, fresh youth. Apparently conflicting characteristics. Means that he doesn't get old as we do. Vedeshu Durlabham, very hard to find in the Vedas. Adurlabham Atma Bhakto, but very easy to obtain for his devotees. So these are apparently conflicting characteristics of Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami, the Supreme Lord Govinda, who Lord Brahma worships and we also worship, is another. There are so many apparently conflicting characteristics. It's very sweet to think of and very inspiring to bhakti to think of. If we say this to the atheists, we don't believe all these things. Of course, we believe in Schrödinger's cat, but we don't believe in the Supreme Lord having conflicting characteristics. Gopyada de twai kritagasi dhammatavad yate dasashu kalilanjana sambrava ksham vaktrang niniya bhaya bhavanaya stithasya samam vimohayati bhir api yad bibeti. Kunti Rani is praying to Krishna. Krishna's right in front of her. She's saying to him, "My dear Krishna, Yashoda took up a rope to bind you when you committed an offense, and your perturbed eyes overflooded with tears, which washed the mascara from your eyes, and you were afraid of a village woman. Although fear personified is afraid of you, this sight is bewildering to me." Devotees are bewildered at the conflicting characteristics of Krishna. Happily bewildered. This is different from the bewilderment of identifying with the body and all the bewilderment which develops from there. This is high-level bewilderment. If we're going to be in illusion, let us be in the illusion of thinking of Krishna and just trying to juggle in our minds. But ultimately, we don't juggle in our minds how he's great and he's small. We just accept achintya, achintya shakti. That is the beginning of theism, Srila Jiva Goswami says. To accept this, the Supreme Lord has unlimited potencies by which he can do anything. Then the more obvious understanding of asama, there is no equal to him. This is the meaning given by Shankaracharya. Samona asya vidyate sarva vilakshanatvat iti vishamaha. In all his characteristics, in someone who in all characteristics is not equal to others, is called Vishama. And Shankara refers to Lord Krishna's manifestation of the universal form, as prayed to by Arjuna, we find in Bhagavad Gita, Pita silokasya chara charasya tvamasya pujasya gurur gariyan natvat samostyabhyadika kutonyo loka traye pya pratima prabhavaha. You hear that? Natvat samo. Natvat samaha. There's no one equal to you. Srila Prabhupada's translation, you are the father of this complete cosmic manifestation of the moving and the non-moving. You are its worshipable chief, the supreme spiritual master. No one is equal to you. Natvat samaha. Nor can anyone be one with you. How then could there be anyone greater than you within the three worlds, O Lord of immeasurable power? The Dharma Chakra commentator on Vishnu Sahasranam, a modern commentator, his name is unknown, gives several examples to illustrate that Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is unique and there's no one to compare to him. In this way, he's Vishama. And he's giving names from Bhagavad Gita in this regard, names of the Supreme Lord Krishna which appear in Bhagavad Gita, and how these names demonstrate that he's not the same as everyone, he's unique. Hrishikesh, one who is unexcelled in the control of the senses. He is the master of the senses. He's the only one. Others may be called self-controlled yogis, but he is the master of the senses of all living beings, and he is the controller of all the senses of all living beings. So in this way, he's unique as Hrishikesh. He's also several names from Gita, again given. Keshava, Keshi Nishudana, Madhusudana. So these are all names which give the understanding of how the Supreme Lord Krishna destroys demons, and there's no one comparable to him in assisting the devas, the demigods, when they are harassed by the demons, the asuras. There's no one equal to him in destroying the asuras. When everything else fails, what do? Read the instructions. When everything else fails for the demigods, they approach Lord Vishnu. When they have no other recourse, the demons are harassing them too much, they approach Vishnu because he's unique in his ability to subdue the demons. He is Govinda because there is no one comparable to him in knowing the nature of the jivas. Yeah, Govinda, one of the meanings of this is he who gives pleasure to the senses. So he gives pleasure to the senses of all living beings. There's no one comparable to him who can know every living being. Then he is Janardana. There is no one as determined and powerful as him in chastising the wicked. So in this way, it's similar to Keshava, Keshi Nishudana, Madhusudana. It's a different name, but the understanding, there are different understandings of the name Janardana. One of them is who is the chastiser of the wicked. Vishnu, he pervades everything and he is everywhere. Who is like that? He's unique. Well, it can be said that Lakshmi is also all-pervasive, but then she's non-different from him. So he's unique. Nothing can exist without him. Nothing can function without him. He's unique in that regard. You and I, who are we, little beings? You could say that, well, in my business, it can't function without me. But, you know, businessmen die, business owners die, and the businesses go on. Charles de Gaulle famously said that the graveyards are full of indispensable men. We think they're indispensable. Vishnu is the one who maintains everything, including the businesses. He is Yogeshwara, Yoga Vidam Neta, the best among the yogis and the leader of all those who follow the path of yoga. So, as Yogeshwara, he's the Lord of Yoga. Yoga can mean the state of being joined with the Supreme, and it can mean the path to come to that stage. So he's the Lord of the perfectional stage of yoga, and he's the Lord of the yogis, the Yogeshwara, the master of the path of yoga. He is. And even there are many persons who are expert in practicing yoga, but he is Mahayogeshwara Harihi. He's superior to all of them, and he's the leader of those who know the path of yoga, Yoga Vidam Neta. Bhagavan, this name comes in Bhagavad Gita, he's unique in having Aishvaryasya Samagrasya Viryasya Yashasya Sriha Jnana Vairagya Yoshaiva Shandang Bhaga Itingena. He's unique in having all opulences in full. In full. Everyone has some wealth. Everyone has some wealth, some energy, some fame, some beauty, some knowledge, and some renunciation. But Bhagavan is the one who has these in full. He's the only one, incomparable, unique. Achyuta, he never slips from his vow. He never falls down from being Bhagawan. He doesn't let his devotees slip down. And these are just a few instances that show how the Supreme Lord is unique. Now, if you want to take a rasik interpretation of all of these names, we could also find out that he's not the master of his senses because he becomes overpowered by the beauty of Srimati Radharani, for instance. And we can find contradictions to all of this, to all of these understandings of how he's unique. But that will only add to his being Vishama, in as much as all contradictions are within him. So that either you take it one way that he's unique in that his qualities are better than others, or you take it that there are so many inherent contradictions in him, he is Vishama. Satyadeva Vashishta. Okay, those of you who are familiar with, or you've listened to some of these talks, you'll know. Now we're going to get a different understanding, completely different angle on it, on this name. Satyadeva Vashishta takes the name Vishama to mean unequal, but then he applies that to the whole creation. Satyadeva Vashishta applies this quality that even within the creation, nothing is exactly the same. Because of this quality of the Supreme Lord. Just like if we see the clouds in the sky, it's never the same exactly. And it's surprising how quickly the clouds in the sky can change to a different formation. It's changing all the time. That's just one example. No two children are exactly the same, even though born of the same parents. Even identical twins are not totally identical. There are no two things which are exactly the same. And we find thumbprint. No two thumbprints are the same. Eyes. No two eyes are the same. No two mentalities are the same. That's the influence of the Supreme Lord in his quality of not being equal, which he imbues to everything. Then another commentator who gives different understandings, Satya Sundayati Raj, gives a completely different meaning that by analyzing the Sanskrit derivation says that he nullified the effect of the poison that was consumed by Rudra, Lord Shiva, during the churning of the milk ocean. So, wasn't that Shiva? Wasn't Shiva? Shiva drank the poison. It was Shiva's power that he was able to consume the poison, but Satya Sundayati Raj says, yeah, okay, but it was Vishnu acting that made that possible. Shiva gets his Shivatvam. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings this in one song. Shiva gets his state of being Shiva from Krishna, from Lord Vishnu. So that is the name Vishama. Terrible name, not equal to any others, full of contradictions. Jai Sri Krishna, Jai Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Vanta Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyavacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna.